Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're using the Red Pew Bibles, it's page 1248. I'm going to spend some time just looking at two verses this morning as we proceed through this second letter that Paul writes from prison to Timothy as the Christian faith is under attack during the period of probably the late 60s A.D. and Nero being in power. This is a great passage, by the way, for those of you who are afraid of evangelism. Those of you who are scared to share your faith, and we all have that yellow stripe that appears occasionally. This is a great section for us, and we should be really comfortable with this morning because the Lord's going to talk to us about evangelizing, if you will, each other and helping one another to understand more and more of the precious gospel of grace of Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to stand as we read these two wonderful verses from Scripture. Hear the Word of God spoken in history and preserved in space and time for our edification here in the 21st century. Chapter 2, verse 1. You then, says the Apostle Paul, my son, Timothy, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. The word of the Lord. May He strengthen us with it. Please be seated. What could God do through you? What could God do through you? Someone pondered it and wrote a poem. It asked, if God can hang the stars on high, if God can paint the clouds that drift on by, if He can send the sun across the sky, what could He do through you? If He could send a storm through space and sprinkle trees on a mountain's face, what could He do through you? If God can do such tiny things as count all the sand or birds that sing and control a universe that swings, what could He do through you? This passage is all about God wanting to do something through you. It's about a body of believers taking what God has given us in the gospel and doing something with it to help another person grow in his appreciation and his service for Christ. It's all about Christians, you Christians, helping the other Christians around you, helping and being helped in advancing the kingdom of Christ. It's not talking about helping the lost. It's not talking about those who need forgiveness outside the gospel. It's not talking about going on missions trips. It's all about you helping one another to advance the cause of Christ as you share what the Lord has shown you in your own personal life. Well, as we try to get to this passage and understand it, first of all, there are a number of things we need to grab onto. The first thing I want you to grab onto this morning is grab onto the vision of reproducing. Grab onto the vision of reproducing. We see in this text, particularly in the second verse, we see biblical truth being reproduced or transmitted through three or four levels of people. We see the Apostle Paul, we see Timothy, We see reliable men, and we see still others, other people. Look at it in verse 4. Identify the verse 2. He says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." You see the four levels of personnel involved there. There's the Apostle Paul, the things he had taught, the things he had said, the things that Timothy would be listening to coming out of Paul's mouth and his ministry. Timothy, and then hearing from Paul. So we have Paul understanding the gospel and its implications and all, giving that to Timothy. And what is Timothy to do? Well, now that he's been instructed, he is to pass on to reliable men, a third group, who in turn will take that same instruction and pass it on to still others. You see the reproduction model here for us. You know, it's interesting. Jesus placed before us a reproduction model when he left the earth. Some of his last words were, as the book of Matthew closes out, he says to his followers, "Now I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and reproduce, teaching them all that I've taught you, all that I've commanded you. Everything you learn from me, reproduce it throughout the world." This morning I want to ask you, who are the disciples you are making? Who are the people in your life that you are helping to grow in Christ? Where is your man? Or where is your woman? Timothy is told to reproduce. And he's going to have to do it in other people. You know, if you play football, the quarterback is snapped the ball by the center. He takes the ball. What does he do? Does he stand there and hold it? No. He laterals it off, or he drops back and throws a pass, and he passes it forward to his teammate wearing the same uniform. Or if you will, take a relay analogy. In track, you may have a four-man team, one man starting, another man anchoring, and two other guys in between. Well, they have a race to run, and they're running as a team. And when one guy runs, and then he passes on to the next runner, and so on and so forth, passing on to his fellow teammates. What a great image for this text for us. It's talking about teammates and passing on the truths of Christ, passing the baton of truth one to another. Now, if you consider the Scripture, you'll find that there are examples of this reproduction model in the Scripture. Acts 18:24, for example, and following. It's a great text for us to consider. Remember, it says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor," etc., etc. But then it goes on to say in the same text, verse 26, "He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." Here's a guy who loves God, understands the Bible to some degree, to a good degree, and yet there were some deficiencies in his understanding. And what happened? Priscilla and Aquila said, "Hey, come on over to our house, fellow believers. We want to instruct you a little more adequately in this great gospel of ours, particularly as it finds its focus in Jesus Christ." Or take, for example, our Lord Himself, who was on earth. How did He spend His time? You may see Him sitting on the hillside speaking to thousands of people. You see Him speaking to the 70 or sending them out two by twos to reach the world. You may see Him around the table with the 12. But you take another look at the Gospels, you also see Him spending a special time, a very focused and quality time with three men. Matthew 17:1, for example, at the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to the Word of God. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So it's Jesus and the three. Or take Mark 5:37, as Jesus is on His way to heal a synagogue ruler's dead son. He's going to bring him back to life. And so as He's on His way, Mark 5:37, it says, He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark 14:32, it says they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to His disciples, sit here while I pray. And He took Peter, James, and John along with Him. You see, our Lord bringing few people along His side to watch Him, to observe Him in a very intimate way. This morning I pray that you'll see the vision of grabbing this vision of reproducing in other people. Which brings us to the second point. We need to grab a vision of reproducing and not just a theoretical vision, but we actually need to grab a real person. Grab on to a diamond in the rough and start reproducing quality diamonds. Find a believer who wants to learn and pass on what Christ has taught you. Or vice versa. Find a believer who wants to teach you and spend time with you and learn everything you can from that individual. Notice, he says in verse 2, the things you've seen and heard, the things you've seen Me teach, verse 2, the things you've heard Me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men. I want you to ask yourself, as I look around me, are there some diamonds in the rough? Are there some people that I would say are reliable men? Women, you can say the same thing. Are there some reliable females around my life? Some believers. Some serious believers who are faithful, committed to growing in Christ, who have a heart for God, and who want to advance in their own understanding of Christ and His kingdom and what they're to be doing and moving forward in the important matters that pertain to Christ. You know, it's interesting, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Silas is called a man who is a faithful brother. Onesimus is called, in Colossians 4:9, a faithful and dear brother. Tychicus in Ephesians 6:21 is called a dear brother and faithful servant. There are people, every believer has faith, but some can be especially described with the word, he's faithful. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. Here's a person who's a diamond in the rough. And I wonder if I can begin to start polishing that diamond. Or some of you may feel you're a diamond in the rough and you say, I want to be polished. That's me. I love the Lord. I have a desire for the things of Christ. And I just need someone to help me with this. Because I'm kind of finding my way here. I think I felt that way for about 10 years in the pastorate, still finding my way. And I'm sure there's a certain level in which we're all still kind of finding our ways. But there's also some of us who have certainly found our ways in many ways, and we have some things to share with each other. And so he says, in trust. Do you see the word? In trust. That's commit what you've heard me teach to you. That's what Timothy's to do. To pass on, to invest himself into these reliable people. He's to invest his time and energy into a few people to advance the kingdom of God. Now I want to tell you, I did you a favor this morning. I've already done you a favor because I've avoided some very scary terms. Deliberately left them out so far. Because if I were to say the word, if I'd asked you, will you disciple someone else? Oh, no. Do you want to be discipled? If I'd say, would you like to mentor someone else? That's mentoring. Now, the first time I ever heard the word mentoring, it's like, whoa. I was working on a doctorate degree in 1990 summer, late 80s. Mentoring is like totally intimidating. So what is mentoring? I have no idea. Never been mentored? Never mentored anyone. There's every one of these guys are flipping this term around like it's like, I don't know, like spreading butter on bread. It's like something you do every day, you know? If someone just say, you know, well, you want to train someone, be part of a training program. It's like, whoa, this is so big. You want to teach someone. How many people would actually define themselves as a teacher? Not a whole lot, particularly when it comes to the Bible. I'm a teacher of the Bible. It's very can be very intimidating. And yet that's the very thing that many of you are capable of doing. And you do it in a very sometimes official way, sometimes unofficial way, and you do a lot of it, and you do a lot of learning. But a text like this is called to heighten and to focus and to place intention on that process of people, believers, coming beside each other, one to teach and one to learn. And of course, there's overflow. It doesn't mean it's totally a vacuum, that someone comes in with zero knowledge and the other guy has 100%. It's not quite like that. It's more a matter of like relationships and a matter of like connecting and passing on truth in a very humble way, one to another. I read a few weeks ago what John Stott, the famous evangelical scholar and well-known Christian leader, had said, and I quote again, he said, "I thank God for the man who led me to Christ and for the extraordinary devotion with which he nurtured me in the early years of my Christian life. He wrote to me every week for, I think, 7 years. He also prayed for me every day. I believe he still does. And I can only begin to guess what I owe under God to such a faithful friend." End quote. Grabbing on to a person, a man, to learn from, or a woman, to learn from, or to help learn. That's what it's about. Grabbing a vision to reproduce and grabbing a person. Maybe for 6 months or for a year. And just 2 years. Let the Lord see what He does. Or maybe you meet once a week or every other week or once a month. Whatever it is. And see what He does as you begin that process. I'd say this passage addresses two sets of people. And there's a third group implied. There's the people who are the diamonds in the rough, the reliable people, right? The reliable men. Entrust to the reliable men, those diamonds in the rough. And then there are the mature Christians like Timothy, although he was still young. And there was still progress to be made, as we see from 1 Timothy. No one was to look down on his youth. And he was plenty of room for progress. But he was mature enough to do this, to bring someone alongside of him. So you've got the diamonds in the rough who want to grow and mature. And you've got the mature man who have a good handle on the Word of God. Those are the two groups. I wonder which group you're in this morning. Those who are mature enough, you think you could actually nurture somebody. You look around, yeah, I think I could do that. It might have to be a teenager, but I think I could do it. It might have to be someone who's like 20 years younger than I, but I think I could do it. Or whatever. And some of you say, well, I'm ready. I want to learn. I can't find anyone to teach me, but I'm there. I'm the diamond in the rough. I just want someone to polish me. So you may be in one group or the other. This passage addresses those two groups of people. But there's a third group that's implied in the passage, though not addressed. And that's the group that's neither reliable, the group not ready to be taught, and the group, let me put it this way, they're neither reliable nor they're mature enough to teach. If you're in that group, I don't have anything to tell you this morning. I really don't. This passage does not say anything about people who are not reliable. And it doesn't say anything about people who don't want to teach. Now, are you saying, Pastor Dan, that everybody should be in a small group? Is that what you're saying as a learner or a teacher? Are you saying that? I didn't say it. I'm not quite ready to go there. But what I am saying is I don't have a message for you this morning if you're not going to be in a small group and meet with someone, one person, to be taught or to learning. I don't have anything to tell you. How God teaches you this morning is between you and Him, and I will teach you later on. it's going to have to be something worked out between you and God. I don't say that to put you on guilt. It's just that the passage, I don't think, addresses people who are diamonds in the rough, who are not diamonds in the rough, and people who aren't eager to teach somebody else on a personal basis. I think this is good because it gives us all something to think about, regardless of what group you're in. Thirdly and finally, in addition to grabbing on to the process of reproduction, grabbing on to that idea that I need to reproduce, and also grabbing on to a person to learn or to help learn, let's grab on finally the Lord's grace. Because we can't do this thing without God's help. We can't really advance the kingdom in our hearts or in the world around us without God's help. And that's why I'm glad verse 1 is there. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I want to point out just two things here briefly. First of all, now you should reasonably expect your efforts are going to make a difference. If you decide, I want to learn from somebody, or I want to help someone learn, and you actually say, find someone, say, let's get together. Or maybe it's going to take you a while to figure it out how you're going to do that. But you've committed to it and you begin to make it happen. You should expect that your efforts are going to make a difference. You should believe, be strong in the grace. It's not be strong in your program or your system, or even that we're all going to do the same programs. I don't think that. He said God's grace is going to help us as we begin to try to reproduce more and more. Why do I say that? Look at what he says in verse 2. Do you see it? Look carefully at it. He says, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men. That's what's going to happen next. Then you're going to fail. Then you're going to falter. Then you're going to stumble. Then nothing's going to happen. No, he says, they will be also qualified to teach others. What's going to happen is they're actually going to learn. You're going to learn something. Might not be able to write an encyclopedia, but you become qualified to teach others. God begins to honor that information that's passed on through example and through word. And God begins to raise up leaders. Where are we going to get our next level of Sunday school teachers? Where are they going to come to? If our dream is fulfilled, and I believe it will be, that this 400-member or whatever it is church is built out back, who is going to teach? Who's going to be leading the services? Where are these leaders? Who's going to teach the Sunday school, children's church, and do all these, lead the Bible studies? Where are these people coming from? I tell you where they're coming from. They're coming from you as you reproduce yourself, as you pass on the wonders of Christ to other individuals. And it may take 2, 5, 7 years or whatever, but hopefully people are not just growing in their bodies, but in their minds and their usefulness to the kingdom. And so we should expect, as he says, Timothy, that as Timothy entrusts himself to these diamonds in the rough, these reliable men, they will become qualified. The word really means competent. It means they'll become apt. They'll become adept. They'll become sufficient. It's the same word that John the Baptist said when he said, I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. And he said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. The same word. I'm not sufficient for these things. And yet we know John the Baptist had a tremendous ministry. And we know that the Scripture says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are competent, the same word, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence, the same root word, our competence comes from God. We should expect that God is going to raise up people who are qualified and will be sufficient and will be capable. Sinners have been advancing the kingdom of God ever since Jesus committed the gospel to the 12. It's been advancing forward through competent, quote-unquote, sinners. God uses feeble people and makes them into competent feeble people, if you will. And so I simply say, to make it very clear, that we should expect, reasonably expect, that our efforts are going to make a difference, that God's going to raise up for us new leaders, both in officers as well as in servants who are unofficially serving, if you will. He's going to help these diamonds be reproduced, the quality diamonds. And who will indeed teach others. You see that part too. They will become qualified to teach others. More people involved. And not just quality, it's in quantity. We should expect reasonably that the Lord is going to add to our quality and to our quantity as we do things His way, using His Word, transmitting the wonders of the gospel to one to another. And the focus this morning comes here between you, if you will, evangelizing each other, sharing with each other in the things the Lord has shown you. Well, I want to close by saying, in a nutshell, if you haven't understood it yet, it's quite clear that Christ wants us as believers to grow through being committed to this teaching and learning process. He wants us to grow. That's your message this morning. He wants us as a congregation to grow as you make a commitment to this learning and teaching process on a personal basis. That you commit yourself. You grab a hold of this idea of reproducing. Yeah, it's the Lord's vision. This needs to happen. I need to reproduce what the Lord gives me. I need to reproduce it. And that means coming along another side to learn more, to give more. And then grabbing a hold of the Lord's grace, not just individual, but grabbing His grace and watching what He will do. What could He do? I said the other day, remember I challenged you a week or two ago, I said, what could you do if you were bold and you just shared the gospel? 2 days later, I shared the gospel on the net with someone. You know, I just simply said, they were listening to Christian music, and I said, so you like Christian music? I presume you're a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian, but I might be soon. So what's holding you back? They said, nothing. I said, let's get to it. So, you know, I've been walking through the gospel, and about 15 minutes, somebody's Christian mother was happy because his daughter or son, whoever it was, came to the Lord. But, you know, what can the Lord do as we begin to honor His Word, as we begin to look to Him and ask, what can He do through me? As the poem said earlier, if God can hang the stars on high, if He can paint the clouds that drift on by, if God can send the sun across the sky, what could He do through you? If He can send a storm through space, if He can sprinkle trees on a mountain's face, what could He do through you? If He can do such tiny things as count all the sand and the birds that sing and control a universe that swings, what could He do through you? You see, you have the gospel of Christ. You know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You know forgiveness is in Him. And some of you know the profound implications of that more than others. What can you do as you begin to learn and share that wonderful gospel of God coming into the world to give us everlasting life? What can you do? Well, honor His Word and we'll find out. Lord, we bow before You. Thank You for the wonderful gospel of Christ coming into the world. It's a profound message that some of us understand more fully than others. And we pray that as we honor Your Word this morning, that You indeed would surprise us and show us the wonderful things that You can do in us and through us as we commit ourselves to You. In Christ's name, amen.